a level of commitment through the wilderness. A level of commitment through the wilderness. All right, what we see through each passage, we see the Son of God. We see Jesus and the enemy having a back and forth conversation with one another. Right? We see the devil. He tried to communicate with Jesus, right? Twisting up the words of God. Right? I don't know about you, but at one point I used to just twist up some words. I used to just sugar quote words in the world, right? I would ask for this and ask for that, but I was twisted in my motives. I was twisted in my intentions. I was twisted. I wanted to receive something, right? But the devil, he was twisted. He was trying to use the very words of God, right, to distract Jesus, right, to throw off Jesus, to get Jesus off track, right? How many know that the enemy can try to do that to us sometimes? Right, he could try to twist the word of God in our lives. He could try to distract us, and whatever the case may be taking place within our families, our ministries, our finances, our jobs, on a daily basis. Right, we've seen the enemy. He was trying to communicate with Jesus in his very own word. Right, but how many know that Jesus came with the retaliation? Right, Jesus came with the retaliation. Amen. With the power of the truth, with the full gospel. Amen. But what we could also see here in this portion of scripture, in this chapter, is three strong effects that can get you and I through some end time situations we may face in today's world. Amen. And I believe it's going to speak to each and every one of us. Amen. I just don't minister a service or a message that doesn't speak to me first. That just doesn't roll with me. That's not in my DNA. Amen. I got to make sure I got to get a hold of Jesus, and I got to transmit what Jesus has spoken to me about. Can the church say amen? See, number one, amen, is a committed level to apply scripture. It's a committed level to apply scripture. As we can continue to read throughout the Gospels of Jesus, amen, he remains committed to the Father, right? When you read Matthew, when you read Mark, when you read Luke and John, amen, you read the New Testament, the Gospels, right? You see the commitment level that Jesus had, amen? I was learned when I came into the home, I was like, man, where do I start reading in my Bible? I don't know what a Bible is. I don't know if I could do that one. Right, and my director would just simply tell me, just start in the New Testament, start in the Gospel, start right there in Matthew. You're not going to understand, but just go ahead and read it. And I was just like, amen. Praise God. If it's going to change my life, I'll try it. Right? See, we are all very much familiar with this popular scripture that Jesus is sent on an order, that Jesus is sent on an assignment. He was sent to fulfill the plan of God, his Father. Luke chapter 22, verses 42, the Bible reads, and this is Jesus, right? He says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. But then he goes ahead and reads and says, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Right? See, as we take a sharp evaluation on the life of Jesus, as we examine the life of Jesus and the way he lived while he was here on earth, right, we see that he was in full possession, right? He possessed, amen, many different qualities, right? But one thing that really stood out to me as an individual, that really stood out to me as I read through Jesus, amen, as I was reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures, right? Jesus took possession. He possessed a spirit of commitment, right? He took ownership, right? He took charge of commitment, of that area of commitment, right? And a lot of us know what it is to take commitment, to take charge, and to take ownership of things. I don't know about you, but man, when I was out there, before I got saved, before I came into the ministry, before I came into the church, right? I took charge. I took ownership. I said, man, this is what's going to go down, and it's going to go down like this. Right? There was somewhat of almost a fear on my family's life, that because there was something in me. It was something crazy in me. It was the devil literally moving through my life. And I took charge over houses in my family, and I said, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to go down, and this is how we're going to do it. Right? How many ever been there? Right? You take charge. You take ownership of certain areas. Right? That particular level of commitment and darkness. If you grew up in the hood, that level was to commit, amen, to fulfill that purpose of partying, to throw house parties, to fulfill that purpose of gangbanging, of wearing different colors and coming against the opposite gang. Right? To fulfill the purpose of using drugs and to fulfill the purpose of getting high. It started off with weed. It started off with smoking marijuana. Then it accelerated to snorting pills, crushing pills, snorting it, popping pills. And then it accelerated to snorting heroin. And then when I was presented the needle, I tried the needle. I shot up heroin. And then when crack cocaine came, I tried crack cocaine. When I was 14, I did crystal meth for 1 week. Whatever it was, I was committed. I wanted to receive the benefits. I wanted to fulfill that purpose within my life. Can somebody agree with me here this morning? But we see that, amen, just as we were committed, we see the life of Jesus as well. How much he was committed. Amen. Jesus was committed to apply the living word. Jesus was committed to apply the living word of God. The instructions of his father. The instructions of his dad. Right? I don't know about you. I had a strict dad. And he's still strict to this day. Amen. Right? He was strict. Amen. But me, myself, I still was committed to darkness. Right? He tried all he could. Amen. He tried all he could. But I stayed committed to darkness. Right? And we see Jesus, he stayed committed to applying the living word of God. See, Jesus was at a level to die and live for the gospel. Right? We see a few times in this chapter Jesus replying back to the enemy with the truth of God. By placing it to the pavement, by placing it in action, placing it in application on his walk on a daily basis, right? Because Jesus was in the wilderness. Jesus was in the process. Amen? Jesus was in the process. See, Jesus left you and I some footsteps to follow. He left you and I a blueprint. He left you and I a map. Right? What it is to live a spiritual life of commitment. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
See, the great leadership of Jesus was not only spoken about, but it was exemplified in application. You can just write this down. I don't have the scriptures up there, but Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 to 35. You can go ahead and read it later. But you see what Jesus did. You see how he exemplified, how he placed it in action. Amen? And there was no better character, amen, that I would follow than Jesus. Right? I could have came off of Job. Right? I could have came off of Paul, Timothy, David, whatever the case was. But, man, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord ministered. Right? He ministered. Amen? See, the level of commitment to Jesus should not only be a spiritual leadership, but having and developing a lordship. Right? Making him Lord over our lives. Making him reign over our lives. Making him the ruler of our lives. That's the commitment level that Jesus himself, that God himself is looking for in the church today. And I believe that. Right? Having that daily walk with him, getting personal with God, committing our lives fully to Jesus. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
If you see in John chapter 3, verse 16, a very also familiar portion of scripture, we're all familiar, we know that this is a popular scripture right here. But this is how God loved the world, the scripture says. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Right? In other words, when you believe in Jesus, and when you know that, I got to follow Jesus. In these end times that we're living, I got to follow God. Right? I got to do my best. I got to do my best to practice the scriptures. I got to do my best to please God with my life, with my actions. I got to do my very, very best. Because the Bible says that we're all going to fall short of his glory. We're going to fall short of his glory. Nobody's perfect. Our pastor always mentions it. And that's what allows me to say, okay, amen. That's true. The scripture does say that. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm going to fall sometimes, or fall a little short, right? We're all going to fall short of God's glory. Amen. But we're to stay committed. We're to do what God has called us to do. He placed you in this ministry for a reason. Come on, somebody. Right? He's placed you. He's escorted you. He's led you. He's directed you into the very house of God here this morning. And that's why you continue to come back on Sundays and Fridays. Amen. And man, we're trying to bridge some of you guys to come to Wednesday prayer night. Come on, somebody. Right? I have the privilege to partner up with two prayer warriors. Right? I have the privilege, the opportunity to commit in that ministry. That's a big responsibility. It's a big assignment in the church, in the will of God, a prayer ministry. Come on, somebody, the devil don't like us. Testify, man, the devil don't like, man. But I place here simply, see, it's in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness we must operate in a committed spirit to cross over one day to that promised land. To one day get to that promised land. I know God has given me vision. I know God has shown me things, right? But I must go through a process first. I must go through a wilderness first. We as Christians, we have to go through a process. We have to go through some things. And sometimes you're not gonna feel comfortable, right? And I mean, Jesus himself, he says, hey, if you want to be my follower, you're gonna deny yourself. You're gonna deny yourself and you're gonna follow me. That's what you simply gotta do. And it's not easy, but when the power of prayer is active, when the power of reading the word of God is active in your life, he's able to give you a strength. Right? He's able to give you a momentum. Come on, somebody. He's able to guide you. Come on, somebody, right? It's in the wilderness. See, Jesus himself, he lived a committed life, but it costed him his life, right? It got him right beside the Father in heaven. See, a believer, a leader, a committed Christian, right, that's committed to the God-inspiring scriptures, possesses and takes charge of a biblical mentality to stay committed through the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I got to constantly pray to God that okay, God, give me a biblical mentality. Give me a mentality that I can apply your scriptures on a daily basis. Right? I always say this, but I'm a young man and I can get antsy too sometimes. Right? I can get antsy too. I want to go make moves and stuff like that. But I got to stay according to God's scriptures and God's word. 24 years old. Living a committed life to Jesus. 24 years old. Living a life of sacrifice and whatever my pastor's asking. Hey, man, pastor. I'm always able to see another man do that. Right? His name was Pastor Felipe. Amen. I know you guys knew that. Right? Living a life of commitment. Gotta constantly pray, God, give me a biblical mentality so I can apply your scripture, so I can apply what you want me, so you could direct my family, so you could direct my ministry, so you could direct me at the job site, whatever the case is. See, your level of commitment in the church or outside the body of Christ, which is the church, we're the body of Christ. We are the church, right? How many know that when we go evangelize, we're the church? We're a mobile church. We're going to take it to the streets, right? I like when I run into people that are right there and circled up and maybe possibly drinking alcohol. I come from that background. I'm able to minister to those type of people. I see the power of God move, right? And hurting lives, drinking on that bottle. And some of them get broken. Because it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondages of sin. Right? We need the anointing of God. Right? We need the anointing of God to stay committed. And the only way you're going to get the anointing of God is if you're applying prayer. Right? If you're involved and you're participating in the word of God, and amen, whatever comes your way, you're going to be a yes and amen. Come on, somebody. Right? Because his promises are yes and amen, according to the Bible. Right? See, your level of commitment in the church or outside of the church determines your destination. It determines your destination. You're outside doing your own thing, and you're like, okay, I maybe try this Jesus thing once in a while. Amen. Y'all try it, you know, on a Sunday, and this and that. Not going to get very far. Not going to get very, very far at all. We got to live a life of commitment to Jesus. Amen. Got to be committed to Jesus. Right? See, Jesus himself, he lived, he walked, he spoke, he ate among the believers, the body of Christ, the church. Right? He remained in the midst. He remained in the midst of the body, the Son of God. Jesus himself. He remained among the brothers in the home. Come on, somebody. Right? He remained among the ushering team and the gang team. Amen? He remained. Right? He came to Run for Hope events. He came to the prayer nights. Come on, somebody. Right? He participated at those rummage sales. Amen. Backing up the sisters. Amen. Come on, somebody. Jesus himself, he lived it. He walked it. He spoke it. I don't know about you, but I pray that, hey, God, man, you did it. Give me the strength to do that too. Why not? Give me the strength to do that too. Empower me to do that. Come on, somebody. I want to please you, God. I want to please you. I don't know about you, but I want to please the Lord. I want to please him. Come on, somebody. I want to please God. See, I simply place it. See, you can never starve the committed believer. You can never starve the committed leader, the Christian who feeds off the promises of God. I'll say that one more time. You can never starve the committed Christian who feeds off of the promises of God. You can never starve that person. Amen. Because they're constantly in the Word. Right? They're constantly committed and living that life and applying the scriptures. Asking questions. Remaining available. Doing these simple little areas. And you see the power of God move. I don't know about you, but 3 years later, man, God has done a lot. And man, this is nothing. This is nothing. I'm still in the wilderness. I'm still in the process. Amen. God is still dealing with areas within my life, right? You can never starve that committed person who feeds off the promises of God, the word of God that clings, amen, that stands on the promises of God. Can the church say amen? Amen. See, because that committed Christian, that soldier, that leader, that disciple of God has been impregnated by the person of the Holy Spirit to apply the scriptures of the living God. It's what the Holy Spirit has done within our lives, within the body of Christ. A level of commitment. Come on, somebody say a level of commitment. See, not only a committed level to apply scripture will help us face some end time situations, amen, but number two, a committed level in spiritual authority. a committed level in spiritual authority. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. How many know there's some pretty places in this world that we live in? Right? There's some big places. There's some fancy places. Right? And verse 9 says, I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. And verse 10 says, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Right? And we see in these areas, right, in this portion of scripture, we see that Jesus, right, that temptations was coming in his path. We see that temptations left and right was coming in the midst, in the path of Jesus as he was walking through the wilderness, as he was going through the wilderness. Right? See, the devil's plan was to catch Jesus slipping. Right? I don't know about you, but I knew some people that used to listen to that song, Slipping in the Darkness. Come on, somebody. I'm not old school, amen. But I've heard it. And that's what the devil was trying to do. He was trying to catch Jesus slipping. Right? How many of the scriptures say that we got to be aware? We got to watch. Because the devil roars, right? He prowls. Like a lion, the Bible says, trying to seek and devour people that he can get. I don't know about you, but I got to stay on my toes, right? I got to stay with prayer. I got to stay under prayer. I got to stay under the anointing. I got to stay in the Word of God. You see, Jesus was prayed up. Jesus was fasted up. He was already applying the Word. He was in the Spirit. And see, having all these great spiritual disciplines applied or not applied within one's life will have the enemy trying to bombard your life if he doesn't already have you. See, Jesus utilized his authority when Satan tried to come and bombard him, when he tried to come and interrupt him, when he tried to catch him slipping. Jesus utilized his authority. He utilized it. He used it to his advantage to help him out. Come on, somebody. Right? He was in bodily form like you and I here this day. See, when the love of money, amen, or when he or she, or anything that tries to bombard one's life, right, getting focused off of Jesus, it is a common dart fired from the pits of hell on a daily basis. I'm going to repeat that one more time. See, when the love of money, or when the opposite sex, when something tries to bombard us in those areas, getting our focus off of Jesus, it is a common dart fired from the pits of hell on a daily basis. And see, I've seen it many times since I've been in the church. I've seen it, and the Lord began to minister to me last night when I was studying it at the midnight hour. Come on, somebody. He began to speak, and he said, this is a common dart fired from Hades, from hell. This is a common dart that's coming, that's shooting, right? At our church, in ministry, in certain people's lives. See, the people, amen, that happened to be hit and took it out by this common dart, amen. They never took possession to spiritual authority at that level. They never took an ownership to a spiritual authority at that level. They never took charge of using the scriptures against Satan and his lies. Come on, somebody. The devil's always shooting at me. I feel it all the time. Amen. Right? That was a liar. See, it was that common dart, right? That attack of Satan himself Amen. That almost took me out. That almost took me out with the opposite sex. Yeah. It almost took me out with a big paying job, with a job. Just say, okay, I could do this job, and now, you know. I was getting bombarded by the enemy. I said, maybe I can, you know, go out there. And it was a common dart that was fired at me, and I was like, right? And the Lord began to minister to me last night, amen, if it wasn't for the process. Come on, somebody, if it wasn't for the wilderness, amen, if it wasn't for being in that men's home, come on, somebody, if it wasn't for me going to the training center, right, if it wasn't for my pastor, amen, to direct me and guide me and give me certain wisdom and advice, amen, I could have been attacked, I could have been taken out, amen, I could have been shot at, I could have been killed, amen. I could have been murdered spiritually. I could have been spiritually murdered. Lord speaking. See, if it wasn't for Pastor, man, amen. If he wasn't soldiered up, amen. If he didn't have that spiritual ammo, amen, from heaven to come and shepherd me through. Could have been taken out. I've seen it happen. Graduates after graduates in the home. Come on, somebody. UTC alumni. That ain't gonna fly with me, man. You know what I mean? I got a pastor that stare. I got a pastor that checks up on me. Amen. I got a pastor, right, that's there, and he's there to serve, man. He's there to serve us. That's what gives me the privilege. Come on, somebody. To serve my pastor. And to be available as well to Sister Marlene if she ever needed something. Praise God. Amen. They're one. See, how many know that? How many thank God for the blood of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. I thank God that he saved me. Amen. I thank God that he rescued me. Amen. I thank God that I'm no longer out there lost and bound in Egypt with an Egypt mentality. I thank God that he's given me a spiritual mentality. Amen. See, a leader, a believer, a Christian that follows Jesus, that's committed at a spiritual level of authority, praise the blood of Jesus over their family. Praise the blood of Jesus over their families, over their ministries, over their finances. Come on, somebody. A committed believer of Jesus that is committed at a spiritual level of authority, praise the blood of Jesus. That individual is praying the blood of Jesus constantly on a daily basis, praying the blood of Christ. I don't know about you, but I find myself all day long. All day long. Father God, I pray the blood of Jesus right now. I'm entering this room. I pray the blood of Jesus. I'm going to speak right now. I pray the blood of Jesus. I'm going to wash my clothes. Amen. I pray the blood of Jesus over this washer. Amen. I pray the blood of Jesus. When I get to drive Ezekiel's car. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, the level of commitment of spiritual authority moves you to rebuke the devil in the name above any other name. It'll move you. That spiritual level, that committed level in authority. God has given us authority. He's given you and I an authority, church. He's given a young person an authority to use his scripture to retaliate, to fight back, to battle back, amen, against the devil. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I used to fight out there in the world too, you know, physically. I got jumped a few times, right? But I used to use these hands, right? But God's like, you can use the hands and the supernatural. Amen. Use the scriptures. Put those dukes down. I had to let it down when I came into the home. I was like, oh, man. The power of God was so heavy when I came in that season. It's still heavy. It's still heavy. God was soft in my heart, and I was like, man, I'm acting like a softy. Amen. No, but it's the love of God. It's the grace of God, and it's a beautiful thing. Amen. See, the leader, the King of Kings, the Jesus, amen, that he spoke, amen, the person he was, amen, he spoke against evil in that committed level of spiritual authority is what allowed the enemy to flee. The person that Jesus was, he was the great I am, he was the King of Kings, he was the Lord of Lords, amen, right? In that committed level of spiritual authority that he had, it allowed the enemy to flee. If you go with me to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, so humble yourself before God. Like I said, I had to put my hands down. I had to just lay it down. I just said, God, you know what? Take control. I had to humble myself. And the scripture goes ahead and reads, says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, that level of commitment and spiritual authority requires a solid praying lifestyle. Jesus was able to overcome. Jesus was able to conquer the scheming lies of the enemy because he remained in prayer. He remained in prayer. He was able to conquer those areas. He was able to overcome them because Jesus remained in prayer. See, a consistency in prayer will build one's life to commit your life in spiritual authority. Jesus took ownership of these spiritual areas. It was of great value to him. We must as well, as Christians, as believers, we must as well take hold of that, take charge of that, value that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We must value that if we want to continue in our level of commitment. Amen? See, not only a committed level to apply scripture and a committed level in spiritual authority will help us face end time situations no matter where we're at. Amen? But number three, a committed level to press through. A committed level to press through. Right? See, right after Jesus, right, was God done using his spiritual authority. He was rebuking the attacks of the devil. You see, Jesus had to back up his level of commitment. And that came through his spiritual authority. That came through his spiritual leadership that he had. Right, when we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. See, Jesus at this point had to press through temptations. He was pressing through the temptations that were coming his way. Right? And it didn't end there. Right? He still went through areas in his ministry. He still went through some times, some tough times and rough times in his ministry. Right? Just like you and I, we're gonna go through some rough things. We're gonna go through some tough things. We're going to have to battle. We're going to have to fight spiritually. Right? But we see Jesus, right? He was level to press through. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, going through the fire. The outcome of that was he remained committed. He remained in position. Come on, somebody. He stayed at a committed level. Just to bump up the story, Jesus was killed on the cross. He was hung on the cross. We all know that scripture. We all know that story. Right? He endured these areas of a life of commitment that he lived so we didn't have to experience eternal death in hell. Just like John chapter 3 verse 16 says, if we believe in him, we will not die. We will not perish. I don't know about you, but man, I don't want to go to hell. Right? I don't want to go to hell. I want to serve Jesus. I want to serve God. Amen. For what he's done in my life. What he's taken me out of. Right? Sometimes the enemy can lie to us and distract us. Like, okay, well, I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. Got my things in order. Got my life in order. But your focus could be somewhere else, not on Jesus. Our focus has to be Jesus. He has to remain center. He has to remain midst of our lives. Can the church say amen? I'll go ahead and call up the worship team. See, Jesus stayed focused, right? He was committed to the Father of truth. He wasn't committed to the Father of all lies, even though the Father of all lies was throwing darts at him, was trying to tempt him, right? He stayed committed to the Father of truth. I don't know about you, but I want to stay committed to my Father. That's a Father of truth. At one point, my father used to be the devil. And if you've been saved for a little while, and that was your father as well. But Jesus grabbed a hold of our lives. And just like Pastor always says, we have that DNA, we have that spirit already within us. We just got to stir it up in prayer. We just got to stir it up for his glory, for his honor, for his works in ministry, whatever God requires of us. These are one-on-one dynamics that I'm giving you, amen, that has been poured into my life, and it's what's allowing me to stay safe. That's what's allowing me not to go back to the world or follow the passions and the sinful pleasures of the world. When the world tries to call my name, because the world knows your name. The world knows your name. The world has you on file. He has you on file. The world, the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. We used to belong to him. And he don't like our ministry. Amen. He don't like us. He don't like that we're part of a front. Like, you're not in an ordinary church. If you're new here today, you haven't been here in a while, you know you're not in an ordinary church. You're in a frontline, you're in a global church, you're in a global ministry. Where God is doing something powerful. Where God is moving. There's a global movement taking place all across the world. Where God is raising up end time leaders, where God is raising up end time disciples. Where God is raising up end time ministers to take pulpits, to take cities. Oh man, I remember when I came back from the training center, there was an Australian invasion taking place. An Australia invasion taking place. And I was like, man, I want to go to that. I called Pastor right away when I seen it on Facebook. I called, man, this was probably like, we got back, I think it was a Friday night service. We just got out of service. We probably went back at the home, at the men's home on the south side. It was like around maybe 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10:30 fellowship. And I called them. I was like, Pastor, I said, can I go? I want to go. It's our movement. He says, we'll see, we'll talk about it, amen. But man, I wanted to go. I mean, there's still events like that taking place right now. Amen. And I want to contribute. I want to contribute towards that, man. I know God has called me to be an evangelist. I know God has called me to preach all across the world. I know God has called me to save lives. God not only delivered me, but he called me to be a deliverer. I don't know about you, but if you've been delivered, God has called you to deliver people in your testimony, in the word. See, this is what allowed Jesus himself to press through in a level of commitment. The angels came and they took care of Jesus. See, I believe the Father and the angels, right? They were just there watching everything. The Lord was ministering to me last night. I was in the Word. I was like, oh God, I was broken in my room and out in there. That's a little prayer closet right there. I got a little prayer room. Hans Eke, you've seen my room before. It's a little room, amen, but it's my little prayer. It's my little war room right there, amen. Doesn't bother me. Praise God. Pastor Ramon from Alcanza Victoria, he lived in the church for 20 years before he got sent out. He lived in the church. I tell my family, I live in the church. Come on, somebody, I live in the church. I live in the house of God. Right, the angels and the Father, I believe they're watching, right? After Jesus himself, they rebuked the enemy, right? And he fled from the scene. And some of us here this day, we have to start rebuking that lying devil so you can experience that committed level breakthrough. I don't know about you, but I got my breakthrough this weekend. I got a tremendous, tremendous breakthrough. See, the holy angels of God, they were on deck. They were on standby, just waiting for him to rebuke in scripture talk, right? The power of the Father then released them, and they immediately came and took care of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I'm closing. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Through everything else, Jesus had to battle through. He suffered through. He endured through. He was still at a committed level to press through. See, your committed level to press through will result in spiritual blessings. Right, you will receive the peace of God in your heart. You will start receiving a peace. You will start receiving a joy. I'm 24 years old. There's no way I could just minister this stuff if I didn't experience it. The Holy Spirit's real. The power of God is real. God is real. God is living today. Come on, somebody. Right, we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, the Bible says. The Bible says he'll never give us too much that we can't handle. That's why it's very, very important that we value the time of prayer and we value reading the Word of God. It's very, very important to establish those times of prayer, to establish those times of Bible reading. See, a level of commitment to prayer and reading the Word will result in breaking through the wilderness. Let's all stand here this day. How can I say that? Why can I say that? You're probably like, man, how could he say stuff like that? How could he even say that? How could he preach that? Because I'm in the wilderness. I'm in the wilderness as well. I'm going through the wilderness as well. I'm going through temptations as well. As Christians, we're going to go through temptations. The devil's going to hit us. The devil's going to lie to us. That's hands down. That's a given fact. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Pastor was just pouring into the gang leadership a couple days ago. He says, man, it's going to happen. We got to stay in prayer. We got to stay in the Word. I love the simple words that he speaks. It doesn't have to be theology, a breakdown, Hebrew, Greek, none of that stuff. I'm able to receive from the man of God. Why? I want to remain at a level of commitment through the wilderness, right? The word wilderness simply describes sacrificial moves, laying our lives down, doing what we got to do. Amen. To say yes and amen. Come on, somebody. I want to be a young man in this ministry that my pastor could look at and see that, man, you know what? Can you take care of this? Say amen. If I got Jesus on my side, amen, if I'm praying it up, reading it up, I know God will guide me through. As they go ahead and play the song, whatever the song may be. A level of commitment.